pattern as we round out this work week and into this weekend. We'll see increased rain chances and slightly cooler temperatures. Tonight, showers ending shortly after sunset, then mostly clear, low 76. Friday, we'll have partly cloudy skies with a 40% chance for showers and thunderstorms, high 97.
James Spivey, your bankruptcy attorney, is your emergency room for your financial problems. Call today at 387-3666. Bankruptcy. It's not the end. It's a new beginning.
It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM, and iHeartRadio. If you have any questions or calls today during the show, please call the Origin Bank hotline during the show. Dr. Z, how are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. I have still up for 5 o'clock in the afternoon for an old man. I've still got some energy. And I'll tell you why. I had a good night's sleep last night. Slept about 7.5 hours. I think you told me you've been sleeping really well the last 3 or 4 nights.
I have. I have struggled with sleep for quite a while, but it seems like the last few nights I have slept quite well. Slept from 10 to about 6:30 this morning.
Helps when you cut out that double espresso after dinner, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right. A little caffeine doesn't hurt, but not too late at night.
That's right. And speaking of that,
yeah, we have a very, very special guest today, calling in all the way from the West Coast, Seattle, Washington. We have Dr. Brandon Peters here. He's board certified in neurology and sleep medicine. He's a doctor that specializes in sleep and helping individuals overcome certain habits that make it tough to sleep through the whole night. He's published extensively on sleep habits, over 1,000 articles, Dr. Zentner.
Impressive.
Book chapters. He's done so many reviews, it's hard to even count how many. He teaches internationally on sleep, appears on podcasts and radio programs like this, all across the nation. Academically, he's trained from Seattle Pacific University, a double major, biology and English. Also has an interest in studying medieval literature. And he went on to receive a medical degree from the Oregon Health Science Center from the University in Portland. He's done a sleep medicine fellowship from the Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. And he actually has written the book on sleep, Sleep Through Insomnia. So all the way from the West Coast in Seattle, Washington, Dr. Brandon Peters, welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour.
Yes, thank you so much for having me and for that introduction. As you recited all those things, I was feeling a little tired myself.
I noticed that you started your first publication was back in 2002. It looked like from an undergraduate program on sleep. Is that accurate?
That's true, yeah. So my first experience in sleep, I was between my junior and senior years of college, and I worked in a sleep clinic filling in for somebody who was out on maternity leave, and I realized my dad suffered from sleep apnea, and so I got him tested and treated. So the first person I ever diagnosed was my father. But after that experience, I did a research project on my senior year in college as part of my honors program, and then ended up publishing those results kind of after I concluded that experience.
Dr. Peters, Scott Zentner here. This is obviously something I think we all can identify with at some time in our life, especially as med students, you and I. But it appears that a lot of people just have chronic problems with insomnia. And looking at your book, it seems like you have a passion for an alternative way of managing insomnia that may not involve medications. And really, given that this is such a broad topic, we just would like you to take over and start wherever you'd like. You told us a little bit about how you got interested in insomnia, working in the sleep lab and diagnosing and treating your father, and then catch us up from there to the present.
Sure. So, yeah, after I graduated from college, I did work as an overnight sleep tech, doing sleep studies on patients and mostly diagnosing sleep apnea, but occasionally other conditions like restless legs or even sleep-related seizures. And then went on to med school, and in med school I worked in circadian rhythm research, so folks who have circadian disorders, including most commonly delayed sleep phase, so night owls. But we worked in a condition called non-24, which happens more in blind people.
Mm-hmm.
And then through neurology, my residency in Minneapolis, I worked with folks who discovered REM sleep behavior disorders, so folks who act out their dreams during sleep, and so they develop the ability to move from sleep, and so they might hit or kick or punch or fall out of bed or do other kind of wild things out of their sleep and not be aware of it until they wake, and then they'll usually have some sort of dream recall that is associated with their movements. And then as I went on to Stanford for my sleep training, I got to work with really the founders of the field. So Dr. Bill Dement, who helped discover sleep stages, discovered REM sleep 50-plus years ago. Dr. Christian Guimeneau, who really was one of the early researchers in sleep apnea and published like 400-some articles in peer-reviewed journals on sleep apnea. And then Dr. Mignot, who is a leading researcher in narcolepsy, discovered the cause of narcolepsy. And then luckily got to work with some great psychologists who trained me to become a cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia manager or treater. And so CBTI, the cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, is really the best treatment for someone who experiences a chronic insomnia. So what do we mean by insomnia? So that's trouble getting to sleep. We're talking 20, 30 minutes or more. Trouble staying asleep or getting back to sleep, again, more than 20, 30 minutes of wakefulness in the night. Or sleep that's not restful in the absence of another sleep disorder. If those symptoms occur at least 3 nights a week for more than 3 months, we would say the person has a chronic insomnia. And the best treatment, first-line treatment for chronic insomnia is CBTI. The symptoms that we associate with untreated insomnia are most commonly fatigue, problems with energy, poor concentration, mood issues, but certainly other things can kind of creep in as well. And it's a common condition, probably the most common sleep disorder that a primary care doctor would encounter, and it affects about 1 in 10 people. And almost everybody has experienced some insomnia, at least at some point in their lives, and maybe rather transient, maybe a night or two, and then it sort of fades away, but it certainly can transition into a more chronic kind of enduring problem, and that's when this insomnia therapy really can be quite helpful.
Folks, you're listening to Mental Health Happy Hour right here on AM 540 and FM 105.7. If you have any questions, please call, or comments, please call our phone number at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, 1-800-259-1440. If you don't want to talk on the phone, you can text us, and Dr. Peters, our special guest, will field your questions. Dr. Peters, I don't know about you, but in my setting, and I'm a psychiatrist, I get a lot of referrals from primary care physicians who've already done the, really quite adequate job in managing depressive disorders and anxiety disorders. And with that, there's often some type of sleep disorder. I'm curious, do you in your clinic, do you find a lot of people, as I do, who have already, in some cases for years, been treated with various sedative hypnotics? And how do you, I know that might be a more challenging patient, but how do you motivate them toward the idea of maybe transitioning off of their sedative hypnotics and selling them on the idea of CBT for insomnia?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we see, I think, probably some of the most difficult patients in our area. And often patients I'm seeing have even seen two or three other sleep doctors, and sometimes even fairly recently, without success. So we get some very intractable insomnia patients to manage. And luckily there's five in my group here. There's five sleep physicians, and three of us all did the CBTI training at Stanford, so we're all equipped to kind of help these people. But let's talk more generally about sleeping pills and how they work or don't work, and then how CBTI kind of steps up to the plate and really can help people work through this. So the American College of Physicians, which is the National Medical Academy for Internal Medicine Doctors, since July 19 of 2016, so 6 years now, has recommended the CBTI as the first-line treatment for chronic insomnia. So that means before someone should be handed a prescription for a sleeping pill, they're meant to be started on CBTI. Now, unfortunately, patients don't know that. Physicians often don't know that. And the resources aren't really readily accessible for somebody to kind of dive into a CBTI program. And so often people instead are put on sleeping pills. And those sleeping pills might be prescribed for years, decades. And anytime the person tries to drop the dose or come off of them, their insomnia may kind of rear right back, and they may have real significant problems. So according to the CDC, back in 2010, about 4% of adults had used a sleeping pill in the prior month. So that's a fairly high level of prescription. Data from like 2008 suggested about 60 million sleeping pills had been prescribed. So these are probably one of the most widely prescribed medications that we use in medicine. Now, these medicines have to do one of two things. They're either going to be enhancing chemical signals for sleep, and most often they affect GABA, sometimes they affect melatonin, or they have to block signals for wakefulness within the brain. And most commonly, they would block histamine, so antihistamine medications, and those are the over-the-counter agents, or they would block orexin or hypocretin, which is another kind of wake-promoting signal. So the most widely used things that people would take over-the-counter would be diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl, and diphenhydramine is the ingredient like Tylenol PM, Advil PM, ZQL. It's an antihistamine, so it's blocking that wake-promoting signal of histamine. The related medicine is doxylamine, which is what's found in like Unisom and NyQuil. And then within the prescription class, the most widely prescribed drug by far is Ambien, or Zolpidem. And that's technically a non-benzodiazepine, or sometimes called a benzodiazepine receptor agonist. It's actually enhancing the effects of GABA, which calms the nervous system down. And about 85% of prescriptions in the United States are Ambien. Now, there are two other related drugs, Lunesta and rarely Sonata, that are used kind of to similar effect. And there's certainly other categories. We use antidepressants like trazodone, sometimes antipsychotics like quetiapine. There's older drugs we don't use really for sleep anymore, like barbiturates, like phenobarbital or benzodiazepines, which can have higher risks associated with them, risks of overdose or long-term risks like memory problems or falls and other issues. The newest category are what we call the orexin antagonists, and these are Belsomra, which has been out for about a decade, a newer one called Dayvigo, the generic of that is Limborexin, mm-hmm. just came out last year. And then the newest one actually just came out within the last couple of weeks. It's called Daridorexant. That's the other one that's in that same category of antagonizing orexin, that wake-promoting signal.
Well, I think I certainly, and Dr. Shelby in our audience, wants to hear more about these drugs. We're coming up on our first commercial break. I think we've got you for the whole hour. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And we're really fortunate. Your wealth of information. We want to hear more about these drugs and alternative to drugs, drug therapy right after this message. Please stay with us, folks, and call in and text at 324-1500 if you have any questions for Dr. Peters. Be right back.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston, in the Graham Shopping Center.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM. We have Dr. Brandon Peters, who currently practices in Seattle, Washington, at the Virginia Mason Medical Center, where he wrote the book on sleep through insomnia. Welcome back to the show. And, you know, Dr. Peters, you did a great job discussing some of the medication that's commonly prescribed for insomnia and difficulty sleeping. Can you talk a little bit about maybe the advantages and disadvantages of starting a medication and maybe getting off of the medications that you have discussed previously?
Yeah, sure. So often my attitude towards a medication for sleep is that you don't take medicine to feel hungry. You shouldn't need a medication to naturally feel sleepy. They can have a very limited role, and there are rarely people who need a medication in order to enhance their ability to sleep, but often it's sort of an easy answer. And I think there are some other changes that most people can make that actually would improve their sleep and may allow them to move away from the use of a medication, which can have other risks or other side effects. When we objectively measure these medicines, they're not that effective at improving sleep. So most of them will help a person to fall asleep faster by about 10 minutes. They may reduce the wakefulness in the night by another 10 to 30 minutes. The increase in total sleep time with many of these medicines is under 30 minutes. So if somebody says, you know, I only sleep 4 hours, I need a medicine, and then say, okay, well, now you're going to sleep 4.5 hours, that's probably not a very satisfying result. But what these medicines are really good at is masking wakefulness, masking consciousness. So you take Ambien, for example. And even though you might only be getting another 30 minutes of sleep, you don't remember lying there awake. You don't remember awakening in the night. And so as the drug wears off, the subjective experience of sleep can actually be quite a bit higher than the objective difference with the medication. But because of that, you can get into trouble. So Ambien can be associated with sleepwalking, sleep eating, sleep driving, other impairments. And so some people, if they have those experiences, really have to stop the use of that medication. It wouldn't be safe for them to continue that medication. And I've seen patients who've gotten DUIs because they took their Ambien, they went out with their keys and were sitting behind their car or the car's wheel, and the door was open, and a cruiser came by, a cop came and checked on them and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And they were out of it, confused, and because they had the keys on the seat with them, they were charged with DUI. So it can be kind of a risky situation if somebody is actually having these sleep-related behaviors. Often people will get tolerant to the medicine where it doesn't seem to work anymore. They need higher doses, and eventually the medicine stops working entirely. There can be a physical dependence and a psychological dependence on the medication. Some of the older ones, the benzodiazepine medications, people can go into withdrawal if they stop the medicine too abruptly, especially if from higher doses. The psychological dependence, you rely on that medicine to sleep. If you run out of it, you get anxious about not being able to sleep. And you get a rebound insomnia if you stop many of these agents suddenly, where two or three nights after stopping it, the sleep worsens. And if that's your experience, you tell yourself, "I really need that medicine to be able to sleep." And it gets people right back to using it in a chronic fashion. So,
well, you know, Dr. Peters, you talked about the primary care physicians being the first line of defense. And in our field, we find that, the primary care doctors do a really good job of first line defense and, psychiatric care. Do you feel that maybe the sleep medicine is maybe overprescribed, or maybe there could be other alternatives as a first line of defense rather than getting put on a sleep medicine?
Yeah, I think there are definitely additional options that we should consider. And I 100% agree that primary care doctors carry a lot of the load in managing both psychiatric conditions, anxiety, depression, as well as sleep conditions, sleep disorders. And frankly, we don't get a lot of education in sleep generally within medical training. The average for somebody graduating from medical school is about 4 hours of education in 4 years of medical school. So there's not a lot of time to teach folks, and unfortunately people don't get a lot of education on some of the minutiae of managing sleep and managing insomnia. So it kind of depends what the underlying issues are. So there are some simple things that I like to point out that can be helpful. So one would be that if somebody is spending too much time in bed, exceeding their own sleep need or sleep ability, which can change or evolve through the lifespan, they are going to have more and more time spent awake. So an adult needs roughly 7 to 9 hours of sleep on average. It's a bell-shaped curve, a normal distribution, just like weight, height, intelligence, and other things. There's an average midpoint that's about 8 hours and 10 minutes. But most adults are going to fall out in the range of 7 to 9 hours. Now, rarely can somebody get by on 6 without impairment, or they need 10 or more. But as we get older, beyond the age of 65, the sleep need actually declines. So the sleep need might be more in the range of 7 to 8 hours beyond the age of 65. And if you're a 7-hour sleeper at that age, but you still spend 8 or 9 hours in bed, suddenly you're starting to spend an hour or two awake on an average night. And it becomes a very irregular experience. Some nights you sleep through the night, other nights not. And that irregularity and sort of differing experience can lead to other consequences. You start to get anxious about not falling asleep. You wake in the night, you look at the clock, and you get annoyed. You get frustrated. You get anxious by seeing what time it is and the time that you're awake. You might anticipate the next day, say, "Oh my gosh, I can't have a bad night of sleep. I got a lot to do tomorrow." You start thinking about all the things that you got to kind of worry about the next day. And so there's a lot of secondary effects that happen just by spending a little too much time in bed, exceeding your own sleep needs. So one of the things that's important to recognize is, how much sleep do I need? At this age, at this stage of life, how much sleep am I needing to feel rested? And sometimes subtracting out a little time at night, keeping the wake time consistent, getting morning sunlight, going to bed a little later, helps to consolidate that sleep down. It helps to reduce some of that wakefulness that may be happening in the night. So many people I see are spending too much time in bed. They're desperate for sleep. They're tired, so they're going to bed early or staying in bed late or resting during the day. And all of those things are making their sleep actually worse. So the thing that is counterintuitive that is quite helpful is actually to go to bed later, get up earlier, be up and out of bed in the night if you're awake, and avoid napping during the day. And sometimes you have to be careful with caffeine consumption and alcohol consumption as well. Now, lots of people I see with insomnia also have sleep apnea, and so they don't realize that one of the reasons they're having light, fragmented sleep, even difficulty initiating sleep, is they actually have untreated or unrecognized sleep apnea. So that sometimes requires a test. You may have to see your primary care doctor and have a sleep study ordered. There's home sleep apnea testing, in-center testing, but sometimes that's needed to unravel the insomnia. And I think a big kind of goal with CBTI is to figure out the underlying causes that contribute to that person's insomnia, resolve as many of those things as we can, and hopefully normalize their sleep. And usually we can. Usually through a process we can kind of figure out what the underlying issues are and get those knocked out, and somebody will notice typically within weeks that things are improved.
Well, we've got another break coming up. Boy, the hour goes by so fast, but the halfway point right now.
What an interesting conversation on sleep.
It really is, and I really like the title of your book, Dr. Peters. It's an interesting title, Sleep Through Insomnia, which to me implies that there's an underlying anxiety that gets conditioned that drives the insomnia. So when we return, that's when we're going to get in the meat and potatoes about how the CBTI works, and also, to give Dr. Peters an opportunity to give our listening audience access to his book. And he's, in addition to that, he can tell us about a program that he's set up where we can actually teach ourselves through this unique therapy how to fall asleep. Will you stay with us again, Dr. Peters?
I'll be here, yeah.
Okay, great. We'll be back in just a few.
Listen and you'll hear it, the unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po' boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating.
Dax Wings and Grill. Now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston in the Graham Shopping Center.
As parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm your host, Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Sintner. We have Dr. Brandon Peters calling in, sleep expert from Seattle, Washington today. We actually have had a few texts that have come in, and we'll get to those a little bit later in the show, so continue to send a text in, and we'll be able to get those questions to Dr. Peters here. Dr. Peters, you've talked quite a bit about your you know, your methodology, your approach. Can you talk a little bit about your approach with in your program with CBT and how you can help teach individuals how to fall asleep faster and stay asleep faster through cognitive behavioral techniques?
Sure. So as we do CBTI, again, one of the things we're trying to address would be underlying causes for the insomnia. So that the list that we might include things like predisposition, a genetic predisposition. Some people have insomnia even back to childhood. There may be increased arousal, so the sympathetic nervous system might be activated, causing increased wakefulness both at day and night. So dialing back stress or treating anxiety can be important. You think about the sleep environment, so obviously we want to have a comfortable place to sleep, cool, dark, not too much noise. We don't want snoring bed partner or dog disturbing our sleep. We think about other psychological factors, so stress that might be impacting sleep. We consider circadian disorders, importantly night owls. Other sleep disorders, like I was mentioned before, sleep apnea, restless legs, even narcolepsy can cause fragmented sleep at night. There can be other medical conditions to consider, things like chronic pain, thyroid issues, anemia, other psychiatric conditions, certainly. We consider the role of medications. Stimulant medications would obviously disturb sleep. So can beta blockers, so blood pressure medicines affect melatonin production. Other substances like caffeine, alcohol, nicotine, other illicit substances. And then some of this just comes down to conditioning, where we really need to train people to associate the bed with sleep and not wakefulness. So the way we kind of work through this program is to do 6 weeks of sessions. And this is done where I work at Virginia Mason Franciscan Health in Seattle. We do this as a workshop, and it's a small group, a shared medical appointment that includes typically 5 to 10 people, sometimes as high as 15. And week by week we meet. There's some education. We use sleep logs to track our sleep patterns. And then we're given very specific instructions and directions to follow. We go out and apply those through the week, and then the next week we come back, we see how we've done, how well we were able to adhere to those interventions, and then learn some new things and apply those new techniques. And ultimately, we identify the important changes that help to resolve the insomnia and really hand somebody a tool set that they can use to sleep normally the rest of their lives, so that months, years down the road, they continue to sleep well because of the things they've learned in that experience. Now, not everyone can get access to that in-person workshop, obviously. And so through my own work, I've tried to make it accessible in other ways. So I created an online course called Insomnia Solved, S-O-L-V-E-D, and you can get to it, insomniasolved.com. And it's accessible from anywhere. The lessons are there, broken up into 6 weeks. There's some reading, not a ton of time spent reading, but there's both sleep logs, PowerPoint slides, audio files. You can hear me walking you through the information. And towards the bottom of that initial page, there's a bunch of other content that I've created over the last decade plus. As was mentioned at the start, I've written more than 1,000 articles on sleep. So I've tried to surface some of the more important content that somebody might find useful and helpful. And we have a Facebook group that you can interact with other people who are working through that online course. And you can reach out to me as well with questions as they might come up. Now, the ebook of that course is also available as its own text, and that's the Sleep Through Insomnia book that you can purchase through Amazon. There's an ebook, there's a paperback. Just recently it was translated for readers in Estonia, so if you want.
They'll all be sleeping soundly in Estonia after they read it.
Yeah. I guess I'll be famous in Estonia.
You know, if all else fails, when we don't have a guest on this show and it's just Dr. Shelby and myself, we can send recordings to anybody that has intractable insomnia, and it's guaranteed to put them to sleep in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you've been very stimulating. I wanted to bring up this whole issue with anxiety and insomnia. As you know, an underlying psychological dynamic with anxiety is really a sensitivity to control issues, fear of losing control and not getting it back again. And And as you alluded, there are a lot of people that really have this notion that they can control what's really what should be natural. And I try to advise them, and I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, to give them some of that control back. Look, you can't control when you go to sleep, but you can control when you wake up. And what we're trying to do is establish some consistency in your circadian rhythm or sleep-wake cycle. So pick a time that you're comfortable waking up every morning, and no matter, you know, how well you sleep the night before, or, whether you fall asleep naturally or, can't fall asleep, get out of bed and try something else, just get out of that bed. Make sure you keep waking up at that time. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's the initial anchor to the program, because, like you said, you cannot set an alarm to fall asleep, but you can certainly set an alarm to wake up, and you can have consistent experiences where you get up at the same time every single day, no matter how good or how bad that night is. And with that, I recommend people reinforce that with light exposure. So I tell people within 15 minutes of waking, try to get 15 to 30 minutes of sunlight exposure. So you step outside. You might be scrolling on your phone. You might be having your coffee or doing something else, but you want that light to be hitting you on the face. You can look away from the sun, obviously, but that light in the morning, that's your circadian pattern. It's a signal to the brain that says, it's time for me to wake up. And it also would make it easier for you to naturally fall asleep at about the same time at night. And, yeah, you can't force sleep to happen. The more you think about falling asleep, the harder it becomes to fall asleep. So instead, we have to shift our attention and focus elsewhere. We want to spend probably an hour before bed unwinding, relaxing, doing some quiet reading, listening to music, watching a favorite TV sitcom you like, or a movie you've seen a million times. You just spend that hour unwinding so that as your natural bedtime comes, you check in with yourself and say, do I feel sleepy? Do I feel drowsy? It's not fatigue. It's not tiredness. It's not exhaustion. It's a feeling of sleepiness. And so eyelids getting heavy, the warm feeling that comes over your body, your vision blurs. If you're reading, you read the same sentence over and over because it's not sinking into your brain. Those are your cues to say, oh, yeah, I'm getting sleepy here, getting tired. And then you transition off to bed with that sense of sleepiness. Now, if you wake up in the night and you say, oh, gosh, I'm wide awake, first, don't check the clock. Set your alarm. Turn the clock. Don't look at it. If you wake and you say, well, I don't hear the alarm. I don't know what time it is. I get to go back to sleep. That's good. I want more sleep. I'm going to roll over, get myself comfortable, let myself get back to sleep. And often it's helpful to focus the mind on something else. So we do breathing techniques, muscle relaxation, guided imagery, something to distract ourselves to be able to get back to sleep. And I like to do what I call the reverse alphabet game, which is you start with the letter Z. You think of an animal that starts with Z. Most people say zebra. And then you spell the word forwards and backwards. You got to think of the order of the letters to kind of work your way up the word. And then you move to Y. And you might have to skip over some letters. There are actually animals that start with X, but almost nobody can name them. And so you kind of move your way up.
What is the animal? I'm curious.
I don't know. I looked it up myself, and I've forgotten.
That exercise seems quite exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm getting sleepy right now thinking about how to spell zebra backwards and forwards. Well, Dr. Peters, we're coming up on another break, and we have a couple of questions. I'm sure that you've received these questions in your practice and in your CBTI groups. Would you be willing to take a couple of those questions when we come back?
I'm happy to, yeah.
Perfect. You know, you given us some great tips on, the bed equals sleep. You know, don't go to bed until you're tired. You know, wait to feel sleepy, relax and unwind before bed. Continue to give us a few calls or text on the Origin Bank hotline, 324-1500. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That
That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Deck? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating it.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston in the Graham Shopping Center.
As a parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Scott Zentner with our very special guest from Seattle, Washington, Dr. Peters, expert in sleep and insomnia. Dr. Peters, I think Dr. Zentner has, he has found.
Well, my curiosity got the best of me. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight until I learned the names of animals that start with an X. I don't know if you did the same during the break. There's the X-ray tetra. Looking at a picture, it's a beautiful little tetra fish, small fish, iridescent blue with a nice orange streak through it, but you can actually, thus the name X-ray fish, see its translucent body. You can even see the backbone while it swims. There's a Xanthips shrew, and the list goes on. But
that would be a tough one to spell.
I can spell that forward,
yeah.
Let alone backwards. But as Dr. Shelby mentioned, Dr. Peters, we did have a couple of texts.
Right.
One gentleman, and there's a lot of background information. Obviously, we didn't get in the text, but he is taking sleeping medicines for years. He seems interested in getting off the medicines, obviously reached a point where maybe he's quite tolerant and his doctor is not willing to increase the dosage. And he does mention he naps during the day and has been told to stop that. But he thinks the sleeping pills have affected his memory, and thought you might speak to that issue.
Yeah, that's certainly a concern that comes up. The medicines that we are most concerned with would be benzodiazepine medications, and those include, there's a long list, but the trade names are like Valium, Xanax, Clonopin, Ativan, etc. The generics usually end with PAM or LAM, P-A-M or L-A-M. So those ones we're concerned about. Antihistamines as well. So the over-the-counter agents that contain diphenhydramine, doxylamine. So long-term, those seem to increase the risk of dementia, memory problems and dementia. Now, I think it's a bit more complicated than just the medication. Ambien and some of the newer agents don't seem to have that same risk. At least there haven't been studies yet that show that risk. And we've had Ambien around for decades at this point. I think it's more complicated than just the agent. I think it probably has to do also with the fact that sometimes we miss sleep apnea. So When people come to me with an insomnia complaint, 80% of those people I see, based on a study I did myself about 5 years ago, I looked at 200 people who went through CBTI, and about 80% of those people had sleep apnea. So sleep apnea can cause insomnia. It can cause excessive daytime sleepiness, napping. It can cause memory problems and increase the risk of dementia. So there's a lot of overlap between the symptoms of sleep apnea and insomnia. The list of symptoms that you may have can include snoring and witness pauses in breathing, gasping, dry mouth, frequent awakening, night sweats, peeing at night, restless sleep, heartburn at night, clenching teeth, unrestful sleep, morning headaches, daytime sleepiness, cognitive complaints, mood complaints, pain complaints. So you think of that list, and about half those are symptoms of insomnia as well. So there's a lot of overlap. So if that person has not had a sleep study, I would totally recommend it.
Yeah, I think a sleep study is recommended for anybody that has trouble sleeping, like you said earlier in the show. I want to get to a few more of these questions because I think they're we just have several folks that are interested in. We have somebody that says, what are your thoughts on the use of marijuana as a sleep aid?
I'm in Washington State.
That's right.
Been there a long time, medically and legally, recreationally.
Yeah, that's true. So marijuana is affecting what are called cannabinoid receptors within the central nervous system. There are more than 100 types of cannabinoids. The two that people would probably recognize are THC and CBD. CBD stands for cannabidiol, and that's the one that seems to have a greater effect on anxiety and sleep. So it can help somebody to relax, kind of dial back their sympathetic nervous system, help them to transition into sleep, and may deepen their sleep. Now, there's some evidence that this would suppress REM sleep, and folks who have sleep apnea and REM sleep, that actually might be helpful. Antidepressants also suppress REM sleep, notoriously, but long-term, I don't think people find marijuana to be consistently helpful. So as people keep using it, they may get that tolerance where it doesn't seem to be as useful over time.
Okay. And thanks for sharing that. We have another individual who says that they don't have any trouble going to sleep, but they wake up 2 to 3 hours after and feel wide awake. What is your feedback for somebody that's experiencing that type of consistent pattern?
Yeah, so that pattern would point me towards what's called a sleep cycle. So there's a normal pattern of sleep through night, which we can graphically show as a hypnogram, but you will normally go into REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, every 90 minutes to 2 hours through a night. And so this person's probably going through two complete sleep cycles. And there's an actual awakening that happens at the end of the sleep cycle, and that may be what's happening. But there can also be an awakening out of REM sleep. And with sleep apnea, that's another thing that causes a very sudden awakening with a burst of cortisol, stress hormone. Person suddenly wide awake and can feel anxious, can feel sweaty, heart rate can be up. So again, it might point me towards the idea that maybe there's something affecting that person's REM sleep that they wake so suddenly out of sleep at that interval, almost like clockwork.
You know, I have a number of patients who I suspect have sleep apnea. They're overweight, so there's a risk there. They're heavy snorers. Their partners complain about that, and their insurance company doesn't want to pay for a sleep study, but they will screen them for that pulse oximetry, and which can, I don't know how accurate that is in really measuring your oxygen saturation, but apparently that's a requirement, at least in this area, for a lot of people to have before they actually have a sleep study. Do you have similar restrictions in your part of the country?
So the oximetry will pick up on pretty significant drops in oxygen levels. It is somewhat impacted by skin tone. So someone who is white, the light will shine quite easily into the fingertip, and we can pick up on blood coloration, but someone who has pigmented skin, it's not going to work as well. Historically, I remember needing to do oximetry tests to identify folks who perhaps needed other kinds of testing. If you have an oximetry test, an oxygen test at home that shows something abnormal, it doesn't necessarily open doors to treatment. It may just allow you to move along through that process towards testing. The people that I see, I don't ever have to order oxygen tests. I can always find a way to get them a home sleep apnea test or an in-center test.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is probably our state insurance requirements and things that we can move quickly on to other kinds of testing.
A previous caller had mentioned napping, and I was curious about your thoughts on that. People will often compensate with naps, and that would be something that you would generally discourage most people who would like to sleep for a sustained period through the night.
Yeah, I don't mind naps. I take naps myself on the weekends when I have the opportunity. If you sleep well at night, I don't think a nap is necessarily a problem. Most people are going to benefit from shorter naps, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes as a way to refresh. If you're taking two-hour naps in the day, that tells me you're probably sleep-deprived, either not enough hours of sleep through the week or perhaps poor sleep quality. If you're not sleeping through the night and having too much wakefulness in the night, it's natural to want to sleep to catch up because you're tired and you can't get through the day otherwise. But the nap kind of perpetuates the poor sleep. If you have a bad night of sleep and then you take a nap, which diminishes your sleep drive, so the next night you get another bad night of sleep. And so to break that cycle, sometimes we have to push through those nap opportunities. And so it means being busy during a time that you would naturally feel sleepy. Don't let yourself sit around in the afternoon. Most people are going to feel sleepy between 1 and 3 p.m. That might be the time you've got to do your grocery shopping or fold your laundry or clean up the kitchen or something. And if you get through those couple of hours, even without a nap or even without caffeine, you'll naturally start to wake up again and be able to kind of get through the rest of the evening. But sometimes we've got to be kind of creative to avoid dozing and napping to help somebody sleep better at night.
I tell you what, it's hard to believe this has gone way too fast. Just an absolute wealth of information on this subject, which we've all experienced at some point in our lives. Dr. Peters, before we end, I want to give you an opportunity for some of those who joined the show late. Tell us about how they can purchase your book and how they can learn more about that program that can help them learn CBT for their insomnia.
Yeah, so the online program, again, is Insomnia Solved, and you can access it through www.insomniasolved.com. The book you can get through Amazon, the Kindle, and paperback version, Sleep Through Insomnia. And if you want to read a bunch of other articles I've written, you can go to verywell.com and search pretty much any topic on sleep, and you'll probably find something there that I've written over the last decade.
Well, Dr. Peters, this has just been a very, very interesting conversation on, as Dr. Zentner was describing, you know, something that everybody has dealt with from time to time, and the difficulty getting to sleep and staying to sleep, and just the anxiety about getting a good night's sleep before work, before something that's pressing on your mind. You know, and the techniques and the strategies that you mentioned very briefly here today, I feel could really help someone that has been struggling with sleep and just to be consistent. And, you know, just as simple as, you know, your first 15 minutes, get out in the sun, let the sun hit your face and kind of get into those patterns. It's just things that we need to be reminded of.
Learning some healthy habits.
Healthy.
Some of those that aren't so healthy.
And maybe give individuals an opportunity to correct some sleep patterns without medication, because, you know, as you said, sometimes that could just mask other symptoms and really not get you a whole lot more benefit or time sleeping. So, Dr. Peters, we really, really have enjoyed this conversation and can't thank you enough for taking the time on the West Coast to come in and join us for the Mental Health Happy Hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mark Levin, listen weeknight.